Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Two Thumbs Up podcast. Today we have some exciting topics to go over. As always, here with my co-host Bobby Plays, and doing the intro. I asked the boss nicely, and boss man let me do the intro. So we're switching things up a bit. I hope he did something in this meantime. You know, I've been doing some trying to entertain you guys because I never get the limelight, man. It's unfair. But we're trying to create some equality in the workplace here, switching up the intros. A lot of just general gaming things happened this week. Not necessarily a lot of like mobile specific things. There are a few things we'll be discussing. And I guess we'll just kick it off with Warzone Mobile Socials getting leaked. Was it leaked or did people just now discover them? Like, what was the? Because they had been, the Twitter account existed all the way back in like June, right?
Yeah, I think so, because there's like one random guy that already followed the account, so I guess he followed them before they made it so nobody can follow, and they just never removed him as a follower, so.
Oh, that guy, the person who's following, is it a guy?
Like, oh, yeah, it's just some random dude.
Let me see. Oh,
you can't even look at it. Somebody showed who it was, but you like can't even see who it is.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's always a really good sign for games whenever like social medias are created. Some games, I mean like Rainbow Six in particular, Rogue Company, like a lot of these companies have been making their social medias for the game months and like almost a year in advance.
Yeah.
From these games coming out. So it's hard to tell if this is like an indicator of a soft launch coming soon or what, but they've had these socials for like 2 months now, and it's a good sign, but it's don't want to get the hopes up and like, oh, you know, soft launch beta announced in 2 weeks, because then, you know, everyone gets their hopes up and then everyone gets sad. So I'm just, you know, it's cool. I follow the Instagram. I requested to follow the Twitter. So far, I haven't been let into Twitter.
I would say, like, especially with the COD Next thing coming up, I would say there is a 95%, maybe 95. I would say there's an 80% chance that either, like, at that or following that, there's some type of either beta or soft launch or something else that's released. Because you're going to have, like, not only the eyes of the mobile community on the event, but you're going to have Warzone people looking at that. You're going to have CDL people looking at that. That's going to be one of the biggest opportunities, and especially given the fact that none of the other games are going to be coming out yet, that's an opportunity to at least get the ball rolling for the betas. So I've got a very strong feeling that we're going to see Warzone Mobile, at least for the beta or the soft launch, coming out probably around that September 15th area.
If you say so. I mean, either some sort of announcement has got to come out or some sort of like some official statement, because so far it's just been like private, you know, signing up for closed betas, and then they'll email you and like if you got on into the beta, and that's really the only communication that anyone's had with Activision so far in this. So it's something official will be posted, I think, like on September 15th or like you said, around that date. But I don't know, for the gameplay, I'm still seeing like it, maybe it's ready for soft launch, but like just a few months ago, like the gameplay that was being posted of the game did not, in my opinion, did not look ready for like a soft launch or even like an open beta testing. So I mean, but it seems like the timing of a lot of this is going to be interesting, because you have Modern Warfare 2 launching later this year. I think you have Warzone 2 launching later this year, and then you have Warzone Mobile. So I think they're obviously trying to like pair all this together to give Warzone Mobile the best chance of succeeding, but I'm a little afraid of them pushing it out too fast, too early, and then maybe having some like Apex Mobile issues where they just lack of optimization or too many issues, which is like that's where my headspace is at now, because Apex Mobile was in testing for like a year. Like these mobile games go through like a year of closed betas and open betas, and Warzone, that would be like 6 months of like testing.
I will say, given the fact that Apex Mobile was in beta for a year, I feel like it's not outside the realm of possibility that the beta is coming, just because I don't think the bar for betas is very high as it is. Like, you look at the Rainbow Six beta, not really anything all that impressive. You look at Rogue Company beta, looks solid, but it's also a much more simple game. And I think you look at other games like that, I don't think you have to be too far progressed. I've also heard I'm not 100% positive on this one, but I've heard leakers say that Verdansk is not even going to be the map that Warzone Mobile is going to be taking place on. Supposedly, that was just a placeholder in the alpha, and supposedly there's a brand new map. So maybe even the possibility that it is going to be a brand new map and that version of the game might be further developed than what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I just looked up Warzone 2 release date, and Warzone 2 is set to release on November the 16th. So is that when Modern Warfare 2?
No, that'll be October 28th.
Wait, no. Oh, this is Modern Warfare 2 back in 2009.
Oh, so yeah.
So October 28th. Oh, yeah, I see. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So that is October 28th. And then 2 weeks later, you have Warzone 2 dropping. So then maybe like 2 weeks later after that, we could see Warzone Mobile dropping. I don't
think it'll be the full release, but maybe like soft launch or something.
Oh, like later this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so you think they might just be announcing?
No, I think they would make the beta publicly available in September, because why not?
And then what would happen later in the year then?
Soft launch.
Oh, there's too many launches, man. You got closed, open, soft, hard, betas. Like, bro, I can't keep up with these anymore. So, I mean, it's good news. And at least if you guys want to know, I think it's what? Twitter is just Warzone Mobile, but if you look it up, I think you have to like go to twitter.com/
yeah,
Warzone Mobile. Yeah. Oh no, if you just look up Warzone Mobile, you can find the Twitter, follow it, and then what is the Instagram? Do you know?
I think the Instagram is COD Mobile Warzone or something like that. COD Warzone Mobile. I don't know. It was very long, and they actually updated the Instagram text later in the day to say it's just a placeholder, Charlie Intel. So I'm assuming they probably have a more simplified version of the URL that's on the way, which I'd assume to be Warzone Mobile.
Oh, that's what that meant. Okay, because the placeholder, I was like, is this a placeholder post? Like, okay, that makes sense.
That's my guess, anyway.
I checked it earlier in the day, and it was just like placeholder, and then I checked it. I saw your tweet. So like, whoever's running it, it's cool to see that at least they're like aware of things going on, and they're like trying to stay in. And then, it's funny, I just refreshed Twitter because I was on, and then... COD Warzone Mobile trailer on obviously on the 15th. But I guess just like more and more hype is being built up around Warzone Mobile. Yeah, it's COD Warzone Mobile is the Instagram. And they have a Facebook page too. So if anyone out there gets on Facebook, go crazy.
All right. Well, hopefully we find out more about that soon. Obviously, moving on. In the esports world of things, COD Mobile just finished up stage 4 for the majority of the reasons, majority of the regions. Obviously, we still have Garena and China left to go. With the stuff that happened in stage 4, I don't think there's anything super surprising that happened. You look at Japan, it's not as competitive in Japan as it used to be, so they only have one team. That one team didn't lose a single map the whole way through. You look at Europe. It was basically the two teams that everybody expected to come out on top, and then one that was kind of a toss-up. For NA, it was pretty much the same, with Tribe and Undream being those top two teams, NYSL taking the last spot. India, we got some surprises, I guess to a certain degree, it was a surprise that Godlike even lost a map, and then Vitality actually, after that event, did end up winning a major. That was, I think, the first time in the history of India COD Mobile that we had a team besides that roster win a major. So that's kind of a big deal, because now you don't really consider it like a cakewalk. Not a cakewalk region, but like there's no competition for the top team.
Yeah.
And then what else? Oh, the interesting thing, I think the biggest upset was the fact that Xygnus, who has been consistently winning a lot of the LATAM stage 4s, actually didn't even make it to stage 5. So that's, I would say, probably the only surprising region, but it is all Brazilian teams heading through. So I just want to give you guys kind of an update. I know Ducky doesn't pay a ton of attention to COD Mobile esports, but this is...
I watched stage 4 NA. I mean, because I don't know any other teams in any of the other regions. So I was like, I could watch... I'm not going to know who to root for, like, what the storyline is. But I did watch... I think I just saw, like, Tribe, like, insta-qualify. It's like, okay, like, kind of expected that. And then I watched NY SLM, and I think they qualified, like, kind of scuffed, if I remember. Or, like, it wasn't, like, a clean sweep. Yeah, it was a little dicey there for a few moments. But then they qualified, and, I had heard of UD before, but don't know anyone.
They have a couple people that were on Tribe's championship team last year, so it was kind of expected that they would be the other top team. So
it's crazy how so many of these teams like unrepped by orgs though. Mm-hmm. Like if there's anything to take is like, so is it each region has its own prize pool, so it's like $2 million in total, right?
Yes, each region has 75,000 on the line for stage four.
Oh no, I'm talking about for like the first place. Or like for stage five, like what's the prize pool split? So do all these teams now go against each other for stage five?
Yeah, they'll all go against each other. So it's like 1.7 million for stage five. Ooh. And then obviously.
So what does first place walk away with?
I don't think it's officially been announced yet. If I had to guess, probably like.
I mean, probably like 500K?
I think like 700K, right? I feel like there's got to be a pretty big reward for coming in first place. I don't know.
Yeah. So how many teams are in stage five now? Is it 12? 8? 10?
I think 16. I think it's 16 total. So 3 NA, 3 EU, that gives us 6. 3 LATAM, which is 9. 1 Japan, which is 10. 2 India, which is 12. 2 Garena, 14. And then 2 China, which is 16.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch, but I'm trying to think of like, it's crazy that a team that is unsigned to an organization, unrepresented by an organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the teams are going to get like flown out, right? Like they don't have to like pay for flights and hotels.
I believe so. I'm pretty sure COD Mobile covered that for all the stage five stuff last year. So I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have to do that.
Because that's like typically, I would say that's what people do for like qualifiers. Mm-hmm. Is like if you're represented by an organization, you'll like be flown out to a boot camp for like a week or two so you can spend time with your team, practice a bunch, scrim a bunch, get like really good chemistry, and then go play. But it's like, how many teams? Because I saw Vitality, I was like, they have a COD Mobile team? That's crazy. Like, I'm sort of shocked. Like, well, the TSM team got like into DQ'd last year. FaZe doesn't have a team.
Animus, who came in first place for Europe, tweeted a FaZe GIF. I think they were trolling because we haven't heard anything since then, but
yeah,
maybe like a tiny chance because realistically, I don't see, obviously NYSL is not going to get picked up. Obviously Tribe's not going to get picked up. Undream is actually like technically owned by somebody, but it's like a Twitter page with 300 followers. So I would be willing to guess that they would probably be willing to sell those contracts for a certain price, but obviously, there's other options out there as well, like your Animuses who are completely unaffiliated.
That's crazy. And then it's gonna be like same thing as like Fortnite World Cup, like this unsigned dude, or maybe signed. I think it was signed to Synthos, but like this just small time guy like went to $3 million, and then everything changes. Like I feel like that'll be the case. Like one of the teams that's gonna win, it'd be really cool to see an unsigned team win.
Yeah,
there's a ton of money because then they get to keep all the money. The orgs don't take any money.
Mm-hmm.
But then hopefully see them signed and maybe see some more orgs step into the fold. Because I still think that org representation within mobile isn't nearly as strong as it could or should be.
Yeah.
And if we were to talk about some org mix-up that happened today or...
Yeah, sure.
Or what? Yeah, so if you guys don't know, Sano, he announced that he is no longer part of TSM today. And I think him and ICE joined at the same time. They didn't get announced the same day, but they got announced the same
couple
time.
Couple days apart, yeah.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, ICE is still a part. Mm-hmm. But I think they were like distinctly signed as Apex Mobile creators.
Yep.
And then...
And Sanho hasn't played Apex Mobile in like 3 months.
Yeah, so it's not a big shock, but it's definitely unfortunate to see... Like, I love the Tribes of the world. I love, you know, like NYS. Like, I love the mobile focused gaming organizations, but I
NYSL
really don't.
NYSL isn't mobile focus?
No. No. I meant, like, okay, never mind. NY, you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
Is NYSL, what is the, I thought the M and NYSLM standing for mobile.
No, it's Mayhem. NYSLM is like a collaboration between Mobile Mayhem and NYSL. So the team is organized by Mobile Mayhem, but they're signed to NYSL.
Because I know NYSL, like that's a like COD, like CDL team.
That's actually hilarious because somebody I gotta send you a tweet that is
literally. Dude, I saw that tweet.
Oh, that was the confusion.
I don't know. Anyways, they're mobile, and so NYSLM. The only people signed to Mayhem, though, are mobile players, right?
Correct.
Okay, so it's pretty much mobile. The M is for mobile. All right, come on.
No, it's not.
Whatever.
Okay.
We'll get it changed.
I'm throwing this up on the screen right now.
I'll talk to the people. We'll get it changed to mobile, and it'll be wraps. But going back to original conversation, I feel like mobile isn't going to get the respect. Not the respect. It doesn't need respect, but like mainly like the respect it deserves from the outside gaming community until the phases, the 100 Thieves, the TSMs. I mean, so they really commit to mobile. And I think, and it's really unfortunate because I think this was a test run and in many ways for their side of mobile, because I think they have like a PUBG mobile team or like maybe one other comp team, and they got instant DQ'd from COD Mobile. A creator, the two mobile creators assigned, one of them quit the game pretty much 2 weeks after they were signed. And so it's not a good look for us. Like, this is nothing towards Sauna. Like, we're chilling, we're bros. But in terms of like other, if you're an outside org looking in, it's not something that's going to build confidence. Like, if I'm an executive at FaZe and I'm a talent scout, or even a talent scout at Ghost, and I'm looking to sign people in the mobile space, and I'm just seeing a lot of moving around, seeing a lot of quick signings and then unsignings, like, it just doesn't build confidence within the scene. And so who knows how much longer it's going to be till like a FaZe steps in and like 100 Thieves.
I think it's a miracle that TSM is still making attempts in the mobile space, because first TSM picks up an Indian COD mobile team. Wait, is it Indian or Thai? I can't remember.
Bro, hey, don't ask me, man. Don't ask me.
I think it was an Indian COD mobile team. PUBG, or not COD mobile, an Indian PUBG team. PUBG gets banned in India. TSM picks up a COD mobile roster. They get DQ'd the first day of stage 4. TSM picks up Sano for Apex Legends Mobile, and he quits the game 2 weeks later. Just like... Props to TSM for sticking with mobile, because they have like the biggest valuation of any org. They keep taking L's in the mobile space, and they just keep on chugging.
Hey, yo, listen, baby. That Ghost sign can be replaced with a TSM sign. No problem. I'll help you guys out. I won't. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of... I knew FaZe picked up a team, but I think their team was in Thailand for PUBG. So, yeah, I think
it was. Oh, yeah.
I
remember they had a... Yeah. And it was funny, like... I'll say this. Remember when Fortnite Mobile was popping back in like 2020, like early 2020, I think before the ban. Yeah, early 2020, before Phase 5 and all that. I had briefly spoken with a talent scout at Phase who was looking at me and Grant. And then everything went down and then nothing panned out. So like there is interest there in like these big orgs to hop into mobile. But I really hope COD, like COD is, you know, just in general, they've got CDL, they have a lot of people signed to orgs, like streamers, pro players, everything. So I really hope with Warzone Mobile, maybe since it's more closely related to like the CDL scene, that we could see some more orgs stepping into mobile, because it would just legitimize so much of the industry. And like at that point, you'd be like, bro, there's people signed to FaZe. Like some dudes in my mentions or like my replies, like, bro, whoa. Like pro mobile players, that doesn't even exist. I was like, bro, someone's about to go play for like $2 million next week, dude.
Honestly, that was one of the biggest reasons I wanted to sign with NYSL, because I had opportunities with other orgs, but like to have somebody that actually has like a professional CDL roster backing the mobile community for me was a really big deal. And I know there were talks for a couple other different CDL orgs. Obviously, 100 Thieves was one of them, and Mud Dog, who's either the talent manager or something else for the LA Thieves roster, was like talking about, hey, if you know about COD Mobile, reach out to me. And there was actually, I can't say who, but there was plans in place for 100 Thieves COD Mobile roster. It fell apart, unfortunately. Sheesh. And I think it would have been really cool to see it happen, but they had very definitive plans to make it happen. We saw Toronto Ultra also making like significant steps toward wanting to pick up a COD mobile team. Never saw anything come of that either. But obviously, these orgs are aware of the COD mobile space. They're aware of the potential that's there. But I think also just the lack of consistency in COD mobile events has likely prevented that as well. Because once again, that you only have COD mobile esports happening in one half of the year. In the first half of the year, there's kind of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like mobile esports in general. there isn't, like, you know, FNCS or Fortnite has their FNCS series where every single season you know to expect a tournament. Valorant has their VCT series where you know exactly the structure of the tournaments and how they're going to function and the prize pools and all the teams involved. And COD Mobile is really the only thing I don't follow, like PUBG Mobile esports. I know that's they host some like pretty big prize pools, but like one COD Mobile tournament a year is just a really slow pace for orgs. Because I mean, theoretically, like an org could sign a team tomorrow and mm-hmm. then drop them right after the tournament's done because they don't have any more tournaments for the next like 8 months.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason for anyone to sign a COD Mobile team until like tournaments become more consistent, or any mobile game for that matter, until like tournaments and competition become more consistent. And I think as far as like content creators, everyone who's gonna get signed has been signed by now.
Yep.
So just some interesting mix-ups in the scene of orgs, and hopefully we see more orgs step into the fold with Warzone Mobile. But changing gears to our favorite game on the podcast, we got more Apex Legends Mobile news. Now, this one's more of a, it's another like L. It's such a mix. It's a mixed bag of like a dub and an L. If you guys follow any leakers on Twitter, anyone who remotely even talks about Apex Mobile anymore, which is like no one, you will have seen that a lot of leaks have been coming out over the last week or so. Whatever recent update they did, they just loaded the game files with like every event, every skin, every new legend, every like map for the next like 3 or 4 months. So Apex Mobile, we now know the next legends for the next 4 months. We know the skins for all these legends. We know the entire battle pass for the next season, which isn't coming out for another 5 weeks. We know the next map that's going to be coming. We know secret features of this map that's going to be coming. Like, you know what's going to be happening in the next 4 months of Apex Mobile, which in a way it's like, oh, these are good things to look forward to. But now it's like, I have nothing else to look forward to. Like, it was always so sick waking up the morning of a Fortnite update and then just reading the patch notes, like scrolling, reading, oh, that's new, that's sick. Oh, they changed this, that's sick. And now Apex Mobile is like, they were even getting memed on their last, whenever they were like teasing crypto, mm-hmm. the new legend. It had been leaked like weeks before, so they were trying to like hype it up. And bro, everyone in the replies was like, we know it's crypto. We know it's crypto. Like, stop this. We know who it is. So it's nice because it gives players something to look forward to, but it just ruins any hype that could have come like with an update.
Yeah, I want Apex to be good. Like, people think I'm a big Apex hater because I meme them all the time on my spam account. I wish Apex had been good. I would have loved a good BR game to main on the side and just play, because I love Battle Royale. I think Battle Royale is a fantastic category. I think Apex, like, mechanically, the base game is the best Battle Royale on mobile. But the way that they execute their content, it's just L after L after L. There's nothing going on in esports. There's like negative things going on in esports. Like, I
straight negative. Like, dude, oh my God. I was invited. Okay, I don't know. I'm not putting anyone on blast. I don't even know the name of the tournament. I was invited to a $250 tournament, like a multi-day, like $250 tournament. Brother, like, I've played in some tournaments in my time mm-hmm. for like Fortnite when I was smaller. I guess respect for people trying to invite creators, but like, it sounds so pretentious, but it's like, I've played in $1,000 Mobile Mayhem tournament mm-hmm. and I won $100.
Yeah.
And then now the tournaments that are happening are $250. Like, the scene is negatively yeah. progressing. Like, I would love to participate in tournaments, but it also has to be worth people's time. Mm-hmm. Like, if
you're and it's a creator, not like you're pulling extra viewership for the tournaments either, because it's like the viewership because I'm gonna die off spawn. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would die off spawn, and the custom game format's terrible, so I can't spectate anyone. I can't, like, I even casted a tournament recently, and casting that was kind of brutal because we had to rely on people streaming. We can't use the in-game spectator client. It's like the tournament scene is just terrible. But there have been leaks for potentially an spectator client updates. And it's like, cool, man. That's like, I don't know what to say.
That's an update. I might start posting Apex once a month, you know? That's all that I want is a spectator client.
Yeah, and it's also like, I don't know, I think the whole Apex Mobile community is on like really rocky terms because everyone's like blaming each other. Like every day on Twitter, I see a brand new tweet about how creators ruined Apex Mobile and how it's our fault we didn't post better videos or more videos.
Oh my gosh.
And then the next day they'll be like, dude, why don't you guys post like they basically hate on creators to the point where they're like, why do you even play this game anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And then they ask, why don't you play this game anymore?
Yeah.
Like then they'll be like, they hate us, but then they want us to save the game. And it's like, there's
creator is capable of saying, like, even if Ferg fully converted his main channel to an Apex Mobile channel, it wouldn't do a thing. Like, if it's not going to be a compelling game for people to play across multiple different device levels and multiple different skill levels, like, it doesn't matter. If a game's not good, a game's not good.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's literally it. And it's like, someone was like, why don't you make TDM content? I said, TDM content, brother? It's a three-minute game with 80% bots. Like, what am I commentating?
Well, yeah, I don't know what you would do
I just one-clipped a bot on this super small map with no score streaks, with no variety in gameplay. Like, I had people coming at me like you didn't upload better videos. I was like, dude, Ferg was out here pumping out the best content of all time, and he quit the game for a reason.
Yeah. I guarantee you there's like probably 20 videos Ferg had in his back pocket ready to post for Apex Mobile, and they never got posted because the game flopped so bad.
Yeah. I mean, you saw his views just like decline. And if the world's biggest creator is struggling to upload content, like how do you think everyone else feels?
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree. The game has potential, but I don't know what to do anymore for them to fix it. Like, I thought I had the answers, but I don't think it would change anything about like the game. So.
Yeah, I mean we've seen games pull off comebacks. I'm not saying any big scale comebacks, but we've seen New State like recover and pull in some viewership. Now that's largely at the hands of PUBG getting banned in India again, but they've brought things back a little bit. So I think there are things that Apex probably can do to bring back some player base, but it just seems like the management is the issue at this point, and if the management stays the same, then obviously the player base is not going to change.
Yeah, and well, I don't even know if it's like, it's like the few people I've interacted with over there like care about the game, they're passionate about it, but it doesn't seem that passion like extends past like developing the game.
Yeah,
like they think they have to do is like make a good game, and they're going to be GGs. But it's like, bro, you have to like network and like get creators back to playing the game. You have to host tournaments, you have to host events, you have to like engage with the community. Like,
I mean, I think esports is what revived Apex HD in the first place. So if they get like an actual good esports format, there's no esports format in the West that for mobile that is really like super competitive right now, because nobody in the West plays PUBG. For COD Mobile, you only have esports running for 4 months out of the year. Outside of that, there's not really any other esports as far as shooters go that people pay attention to. Like, if you get a good esports scene running, people will watch and people will start playing again. That's the only thing I can really think of.
No, 100%. But it's also like, I don't know their heads at, man. I don't know.
And you also don't have a spectator client, so you can't even do that right now.
Yeah, like, you can't create any... You can't even do community tournaments, really. Yeah. Like, sick, I don't know, posting, like, some meme you whipped up in Photoshop for, like, 30 minutes is like all the community engagement anyone gets.
Yep.
So if they come out with a fire comp scene, we're chilling, but like it's not up to creators. Like,
no,
I can daily upload for the rest of my life, the game will continue to decline.
Yeah,
like, that's not the problem. It's interesting, you know, our rant's done. Our weekly Apex Mobile rant is they just give us so much ammo. Like, that's the problem. Like, you have every other game like Rainbow Six chilling, vibing, doing their own thing. You have what's it called? Rogue Company, vibing, chilling, doing their thing. Like, no one, we would flame every other game in existence if we could. But there's really nothing to flame about other games. Like you said, I don't hate Apex. Like, I've been playing it, I've been enjoying it. But they just give you so much, they give you so many things to talk about regarding their game.
All right.
Anyways, done with Apex.
Yeah, moving on. This is not mobile specific, but kind of a big thing the internet was talking about, especially within the last couple of days. Frosty, who was a member of a group called The Mob, formerly they were signed with 100 Thieves. The group following one of their members leaving, kind of fell apart, left 100 Thieves. Hadn't really heard too much about it. Didn't seem like there was any drama at the time. And then kind of out of the blue, I think it was actually like a drunken Twitter post that he decided he would continue to elaborate on. What, that's always a great idea. Guys, if you make a drunken Twitter post, definitely make sure you continue that narrative. basically, what he said was, man, we could have done so much with the creator house that the mob had if we weren't worried about where our next meal was coming from. And then he went on to further critique 100 Thieves and talk about their contract splits. He claimed that 100 Thieves was taking 95% of their cut, which was definitely interesting because that is a very large percentage of the cut. And also talking about the amount that they were getting paid, the fact that they were in a $10,000 a month house, and all this. And so obviously Nade Shot replied, basically said, we gave them these opportunities. We brought them brand deals that could have gotten them, what, 30K each. They were late on the deliverables. They weren't streaming as much as they could. Frosty said, we didn't have good internet, yada, yada, yada. Basically, my biggest takeaway from it was Frosty and some other members of the mob house just didn't really seem like they were putting in the work. Now, maybe you can clarify on this. Do you know if they were getting paid $60,000 a year each or $60,000 a year as a group?
No, so the only thing that I know is they were each personally, like their salary outside of brand deals, like I don't know where that 60K a year figure came in. I think 60K a year was after brand deals and including salary. Like I think that's how much they were making, like pre-tax in LA, 60K.
Okay.
So you tax that, you're making like 40K, basically like 3,500 a month, and you're spending 2,500 a month on rent. So after tax, their salary each month per member, there's four members of this group. They decided to move into a $10,000 house, and each member is only getting paid $1,650 after tax. So they each month had to out of pocket $850 to cover rent for a house that they, I know like he went, like there are some cheap, quote unquote, cheaper options in like the area that they were looking for. And I know this is like a highly contested point. I guess we can touch on later, but they're paying out of pocket each month for rent. And then of the brand deals they were doing, they apparently made a good chunk of change from a few of them. But that, like, no one, what I'm upset about this whole thing is no one provided receipts. No one showed a PayPal payment or a bank statement. Like, this is what I got paid. Like, this is, like, and there was even a clip from Frosty. He was like,
yeah, he's like, I don't have to prove anything. Why would I lie?
Yeah. And it's like, It's so we can only take, there's only two inputs we have on this, two people's words. And one is Nade Shot, the owner and founder of an incredibly successful esports organization. And the other is a content creator who doesn't make content anymore and kind of did it to make the most of his career.
Yeah.
So you have to value things differently, but all said and done, they were making like 60,000 a year from 100 Thieves, I think just in themselves and not including their own content or their own like revenue streams. And the main point was we weren't getting paid enough, and what we were getting paid wasn't enough to cover our living expenses and cause like mental issues. So we weren't able to stream enough, or our internet was down. So we weren't able to, we had too much other stuff on our plate. But the thing I keep going back to is like, why Nade Shot brought up multiple times. And I talked to like a few of their creators, like we just brought up in discussion of like that opportunity should never have been presented to them if they weren't ready to take it. Like it sounded like none of those guys were really ready to take on that experience and responsibility of paying for that much. And let alone like, he keeps bringing up like, yeah, they only had like 100 viewers, like 200 viewers, like average. It's like, if you know they're really small streamers, like Nate had also kind of put them in a pretty bad position of making them move to a specific area where there's only a few houses available.
Them to move there?
Yeah, that was in the, that was if, they would not have joined 100 Thieves if they would not have moved to LA.
Okay.
So that was like a baseline of like, if you join 100 Thieves, you have to move to LA. And in LA, finding a 4-bedroom near in relation in like the area of that compound is like, yeah, you're spending at least like $7,000-$8,000 because the places that were on Zillow for like $6,000.
Okay, but you got to realize they signed with 100 Thieves, what, 3 or 4 years ago, and we're in the middle of a housing crisis right now. I guarantee you the prices of those houses and the options, I guarantee you that was way lower. And like first option he pulled up when he was on stream, From what I saw was 6,700. So I guarantee you.
No, but that was like a two bedroom, like 1,200 square foot place.
No, it's four bedrooms.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, lol.
Yeah, I guarantee you there are probably $4,000 a month options that they could have at that point in time. But
yeah, I don't know. The only thing I took away is like the opportunity really shouldn't have been given to them if they didn't seem like they were going to make the most of it. And I followed them up personally before they joined 100 Thieves. Like I followed like all the members on Twitter. I watched a few of their streams because I just thought they're funny. But like that's a lot of responsibility to give a group of four people. And what was really funny is like Frosty brought up the point of not being able to eat. Like didn't have enough money some days to feed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Man was DoorDashing every single day.
Yeah.
Like there was a picture. There's an old picture from his timeline where his room was littered with like 40 delivery bags. I'm like, bro, you spent $15 on that? You can feed yourself for $15 a week. It's rough, but you at least a few days. $15?
Yeah.
Bro, I can go buy 2 pounds of chicken, some rice, and some broccoli for like $15. And that's like four meals if you like meal prep it. And so I just think in that regards, like that was a pretty bad point. But I'll say this one point and then I'll let you like my thing was like the 85%. Frosty claimed that they took 95% of all revenue deals, of all brand deals that were brought to them. And then Nate was like, no, it's only 85. Dude, no one else seemed to care that an agency or someone bringing a brand deal takes 85% of the revenue. Like that is appalling.
I don't think they
and
actually.
I was gonna say no. For one of the deals, they took 85%, and for two of the deals, they took 35 or 65. I think they took 35%.
Yeah.
For two of the deals, but still, like having the option in your contract to get 15% of the revenue from a deal is absurd.
Okay, but you got to think about the size of the deals that.
No, I don't.
Ducky, dude, a 200K contract for four content creators pulling 100 viewers each. When is that ever going to happen? Like, realistically, when should 100 viewers each be getting? So
a lot of this is also taken out of context of like they were just looking at Frosty's channel when I believe they had a mob Twitch channel, and that Twitch channel they would do mobcasts, like weekly streams, and that would regularly pull thousands of viewers. And none of this was ever brought up in context. Like none of this, it was only ever looking at Frosty stuff, and they didn't bring up like Classify, who was popping off with like 1,000 viewers. And the other guys were smaller, but that whole like mob brand, like 200K to like Frosty, yeah, it's a problem. But like thinking of it in the idea of like four people plus a huge brand and a Twitch stream tied to 100 Thieves, like 200K for a year-long deal, like really isn't that absurd when you account for how much.
Okay, like, but then also if they're pulling that many on a group Twitch channel, then your other point of they don't know how to pull enough viewers to sustain themselves kind of goes out the window. Because if their group Twitch channel was pulling that much,
yeah,
they should absolutely be able to compensate for any like marginally. Yes, 10,000 a month is a lot, but they could definitely compensate for that if they're actually pulling that much on a consistent basis.
No, I'm not saying that like they were. I think that claim is absurd. That like that's either poor financial management, just not spending money how you should be, or like they just were wasting it on stuff. Like I don't know. I'm more concerned about like the. For me, it was like the 85% was the big thing that I took away. And then the opportunity should not have been presented to them in the first place. Not that they didn't deserve it, but like that they had to move out to LA. And they obviously didn't vet the property well enough because they had Spectrum Internet and Spectrum was an L. And they had streaming issues for like 4 months. And apparently it would only cost like $5,000 to put on an optic fiber line. They never got it done. And they're like crying to Nate Shot about that. I was like, bro, 5K? Just pull $1,000 yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Put a fiber. Like, so there's a lot that just fell on their shoulders. But for me, it's like, no matter the size of the group, like someone taking. Bro, even when I was super small and getting my own deals and I was signed with an agency way larger than I should have been, I was still having a very, very fair revenue split, like the industry standard, like 20%. And so I think that are like. Moist Critical made a really good video about like no matter the size of the creator, like just taking that much to source a deal and then present it to them is like, it's still up to the creator to do it. It's still the creator's brand and integrity you're relying on to like sell whatever you're selling. And it's not 100 Thieves. Like it was still the mob, it was still Frosty, it was still like Mako, all of them doing the brand deals, not 100 Thieves. So I don't know. It's fascinating at least.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but from what I saw, if they're talking, because if 100 Thieves is only taking what, and obviously 80K out of 200K is still a lot of money, but it doesn't seem like it was 80-15 split. It feels like 15% was given to the creators, and it wasn't necessarily 100 Thieves taking 85%, but that's what it looked like from an individual creator standpoint, because the other 45% had to be given to the other content creators. I could be wrong on that, but that's what it looked like to me.
I think it's 85% goes to 100 Thieves and 15% goes to the creators. Is that what you're saying?
But then why would Thieves only have gotten 80K out of a 200K deal?
Oh, because for that deal, no, Nadeshot specifically said for two of those three deals, they only took 35%. And that was one of those two deals.
I guess I don't really see the issue if for the majority of the deals are getting a way better split anyway, but maybe that's just me.
But if this situation hadn't popped up and you heard there was a group that was getting like their partner, like their agency was taking double the industry standard, like regardless of the context of the situation, like I feel like that's the main point of like, they were able to get away with it because they had that leverage, and the other guys had like no bargaining power. Like they had no, originally it was a 95. They had the power to take up to 90 in their original contract, and they negotiated it down to 85%. Like, that's crazy to me.
I don't know.
Like
I personally, if I was in their situation and I was new and I'm trying to blow up and 100 Thieves gives me that offer, I'd take it. It's 100 Thieves, you know, like their name, and maybe that's just me and what I would have been doing earlier on, but I don't have as big of an issue, but that might just be me.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely think all in all, it was a Frosty L, like mob L. They just didn't. They could have done more. Like in hindsight, they could have done more. And I know Classify was like the one member who like tried a lot and like really tried to put in the hours. And then Frosty just, like I said, he had some kind of good points, but then he just either didn't provide proof or just didn't articulate them well, and he just looked terrible on the timeline.
I mean, and it also didn't help that he was like the only mob member that was upset. So yeah, I think like, that everyone kind of else further like, reinforced, oh, this was a drunk tweet, and now he's milking it for clout, and now he hasn't tweeted anything since it happened.
Yeah, no, he was running ads during the stream.
Uh-huh.
I would have been too. I'm not gonna lie. That's probably like a free $100 every time you press that button. So that was, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I guess it's a cautionary tale. Like when all this is going on, I just tweeted like, read your contract. Like if you guys are ever fortunate enough to get like an opportunity in the gaming industry, like contracts can be pretty predatory in this space. So never sign something without reading it. Bro, I don't know. It's like 30 pages of boring stuff.
Or just read, get an agent.
Yeah, or just become literate with contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're not going to be in a position where a year down the line, you blow up and then the company is like, oh, wait, you signed a two-year deal and you have no access to get out of this early because we own you.
Yeah.
So I think mainly that was the big thing of like a lot of the contention points he brought up were things that he willingly agreed to, like the group agreed to, and they didn't really seem to fight it that much. So read your contracts, guys.
I agree.
Anyways, something not controversial, something awesome. The Rainbow Six mobile game had some creators out for, I guess, not a launch party. I don't know.
Nobody really knows what it was.
Dude, what are they doing, man? What is that meme? It's like, what is he doing in there? Like, what is he cooking in there? All they did is, who did they bring out? Let me go find their
name. Imo, Rosemith, Aerith.
It's Jacob Gaming.
Yep.
Frisky Two Times, who I'd never heard of.
Never heard of him.
Exotic.
Yep.
Wait, is this a guy who just leaks stuff for a living?
Nah, he's been in like every mobile game in existence. He used to do COD Mobile stuff for a little bit. He did Apex. He probably did Apex for a bit.
Was he the guy? Someone complained about getting a copyright strike for uploading copyrighted content.
Maybe.
Like there was a YouTuber. I'm not saying it was him, but there's a YouTuber who's like, bro, YouTube, why did you take down my Warzone mobile video?
Oh, like, no, that was somebody else. No.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I just know Exotic, he posts a ton of, like, I think I've watched his video, like, some of his, like, leak videos or, like...
Yeah. Pretty sure he did one where, supposedly, he, like, downloaded COD Mobile Hex. I don't know if that was him, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Dude, yo, that's a Jarvis moment. What?
Uh-huh.
And, hey,
anyway, I didn't actually watch the video, so maybe that's not what he did, but that's exactly what the title said.
All right, we'll stop. We'll stop snitching on my man before we get banned. But they had some creators out, and it looked like a fun time. Like, what did they say? Were you all able to guess the creators who visited the studio? We had such an amazing time getting to know them and playing some Rainbow Six Mobile closed beta matches against the devs. I guess they had input. Like, I'm assuming the creators gave input on the game, but, like, doesn't seem like they filmed any content.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like they were able to post anything about it.
I think they probably did. It's probably just going to be, like, later on that it comes out, and it'll probably only be on their channels.
Yeah, I don't know. It was way cool of an opportunity to not post a whole lot about it. Like, you've got creators, which their reach totals, you know, into the hundreds of thousands and could be free promo, and then it almost seems like they were, if anything, asked to be more hush-hush than...
Okay, I found Exotic's video just because I was curious if I was remembering correctly. He posted a video titled, I hacked in COD Mobile and got banned. So.
Hey, yo!
Sounds like he hacked, but I don't know.
Dude, I'm looking that up. Oh, it has a million. Did he actually
get banned? Yeah!
Bro.
A million
and
views?
Then he did it. Oh, no, then he played a hacked version.
Yeah.
Bro, what?
I guess you're not a COD Mobile partner, just do whatever you want, you know?
Dude, Oh my god, yeah, he did. Bro!
Did he actually hack?
Yes! I skipped like 15 minutes and he's got wall hacks. He's got, oh my god, dude, there's a Telegram ad at the top of the video or the top of the game.
Oh my gosh.
Like, he just downloaded, he found one of those guys from the global chat who's like, free hacks, DM me on Telegram. And he did. DM him
There you go.
Bro, that's so ballsy, man. I mean, there a million is. Views is sick, but like, dude, now you're probably on COD Mobile's like blacklist.
There's some bridges you don't want to burn.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Jarvis's adventure into hacking and resulting in that getting a perm ban.
Yep.
I towed the line a few times in Fortnite where I would never hack, but like I would install updates early, or like I would brute force something onto my device. Like, it would be like getting 120 FPS.
Oh, okay.
When 60 FPS was the only option.
Yeah.
And then I think like a few days later, they released 120 FPS or something. But it was like, I would message the community developer like, hey, can I do this? It's like, well, you can't. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you really shouldn't do it. Like, I don't care. I'm doing it. Banger videos. So.
There you go.
Take that with a grain of salt. And is that all of our gaming news today? We just have another... controversial topic to talk about.
Yeah, I guess there's not really much that happened at the Rainbow Six. I mean, if we don't know anything that happened, then we'll have to keep our eyes out. But final topic of the day, just because, I don't know, I feel like we get most of our topics from Twitter at this point. Andrew Tate, banned everywhere.
Top G gone.
He, RIP. It was kind of controversial for a little bit. I think the word I used initially was freedom of speech, and that's not what I meant. I think it's more censorship. And a lot of it has to do with whether or not, like, does everything that people have said that he's done, does he do that? Has he done that in the past? I think regardless, like, obviously he's a terrible person, but there's also a lot of terrible people who are still not banned on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. So... It was obviously debatable, and now he's on some right-wing streaming website that prides themselves on not letting people get canceled, and so...
Wait, is it Cozy?
No, it's Rumble, I think.
Ooh.
Yes.
Dude, he should head over to Trovo, man.
But yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, if you don't know who Andrew Tate is, then, like, I don't know why you've been under a rock.
I think statistically he was the most popular human in the world for like a very, he was the most searched human in the world. And like, you can skew that, you know, data point so hard of like, I mean, Mr. Beast is really popular, but not everyone's searching him at one exact moment. But for like a few weeks, he just become the most like viral thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the thing is for me, like these companies have the right to ban people because you're signing up to their terms of service. Whenever you join their platform, they have the right. I'm pretty sure they have the right to just ban anyone. Like, this isn't the government-owned Twitter.
Exactly.
Like, so the Fifth Amendment. I mean, yeah, you could say whatever you want, but I hate when people use like, you know, it's Fifth Amendment. You can say whatever you want. Isn't that Fifth Amendment?
No, that's the First.
It's the First. Right. I dropped out of school.
Fifth Amendment is your right to a lawyer and not having to speak.
Yeah, I'd best say you plead the Fifth. Mm-hmm. But I was gonna say when people say like, oh, it's the First Amendment, my right to say whatever. It's like, yeah, you could say whatever you want, but there are going to be consequences against saying whatever you want.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess personally, I don't want to see him, like you said, censored. Like, it feels like there are way worse things that could be said, and I'm not defending Andrew Tate because he had some really bad takes.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, he had some, I don't want to say good takes, but he had some like, maybe reasonable takes, but he has terrible takes.
I think just a lot of the stuff that I see brought up is the reason he should have been banned was stuff that he said like many, many years ago. And it wasn't things that were directly said on the platform itself. And I think especially talking about like people looking up, like the Taliban has a Twitter account. So like,
really?
How does the Taliban have a Twitter account and they haven't been banned, but Andrew Tate's ban, and there's also rumors of like all these different laws that he's broken, and that, like, if I all guess those my are point true, to that, yeah,
I guess my point to that is like if he would have broke those laws, like he'd be in jail.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not an Andrew Tate fan. I'm not.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah.
But it's, you have to also, you can't like, it's very risky and a very dangerous thing to just instantly cancel someone because it's the fun, cool thing to do, and not to like logically, critically think of like, did he do something to deserve to get banned? Did he break any laws on camera? Did he actively do something that harmed? Like, not really. He was just speaking some crazy stuff. And there's a lot of people on both sides of whatever that speak a lot of crazy, and they're allowed to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it just felt like a really like coordinated attack from all these social media companies to like ban him. Because like I said, because once one Twitter or like once one company banned him, everyone else was like, all right, guess we're doing this. And so I don't know.
I feel like the bands just amplified his voice even more. So now he's got like, he's pulling 100K plus on Rumble now. And Rumble, like that's the, I guarantee you, that's the most viewers they have ever had for any individual person. So they're just going to keep on pushing it. I don't know. I like, obviously.
But, and then it's like, yeah, he gets banned that he goes on like TV shows.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, dude, you're.
And now KSI wants to box him. I was like, bro. KSI was like, oh, jumping up and down when he got banned. I'm like, how are you going to celebrate him getting banned and then give him the opportunity to make a butt ton of money and be on like a huge broadcast with you? Like, there's so much hypocrisy there.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's something that like, if you guys have ever dealt with hate online, like if a hater ever comes into like my chat, the worst thing to do is to give that person attention.
Yeah.
Like, the more attention you give to the hater, the more they feel justified by what they're doing. So they do it more. They do it harder. They do it, you know, more intensely. So it's kind of like the same thing. Like, an energy, like a really conflicting personality, the more attention you give that person, it's almost like Leafy is here from way back in the day of when he was banned. Like, he just said some really crazy out-of-pocket stuff. And, like, he just got really big to the point where these platforms are like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you can say whatever you, and that's almost the problem, is like, you can say whatever you want until you get a certain popularity. Like, once you become so popular, then it's not okay to say those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But like, so many creators.
Because there's probably kids with like all over the internet saying things 10,000 times worse than he has, but it's because he has the influence that he's getting banned. So.
Or, I mean, it's kind of like the same situation. I saw someone yesterday had to post a twit longer because they got outed for saying a no-no back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this happens to this day. There are FaZe members who have to go and get, like a slap on the wrist for doing something way back when. And, like, it's like, oh, it's okay to do it if you're irrelevant and no one knows about it. You can say whatever you want. But as soon as you get credibility, that's when the canceling's like, ah, let's do it.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Just double standards.
Yeah, it's just really weird, and I don't know. I don't have Rumble, so I guess I'm not going to be keeping up with the guy. Yeah. But, you know, hope to top G doing okay.
He's got a bunch of casinos in Romania, so he'll be fine. Dude,
he's got a Bugatti.
Exactly.
My yellow Bugatti.
And he'll probably get a couple million for boxing KSI, so there you go.
True, so he'll get a second one.
Uh-huh.
But I guess for that's it for the Two Thumbs Up podcast. Got a little, you know, we keep it interesting. Once again, there's not too many mobile-specific topics we can talk about. And until there are, you know, keep suggesting different things that happened on the internet that week or different people. We haven't had a guest on in a while.
We haven't. So
maybe we'll have one on soon. I don't want to say next time and then it not happen, but maybe soon. We still have like 90 episodes to go until we get Noah, unfortunately. So if you have anyone else that's not Noah who might want to come on, let us know.
Yeah, that wraps things up. We appreciate you guys watching. Make sure to follow us on the socials if you haven't already. And follow on Spotify if you want to be updated whenever the podcast goes live. We appreciate you guys watching. Hope you enjoyed.